Welcome to Britt David Podcast, as Pastor Tim brings us a new sermon series this week, Because He Lives, the Aftermath of Jesus' Resurrection, entitled, Our Glorified Bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35 through 49. Sometimes we think of Easter Sunday as the end. We've worked hard to get our facilities dressed up and to reach out to potential church guests, to put together a great worship service, even to get a new set of clothes laid out. And then, whew, it's over. No, it's just the beginning. Because of Jesus' resurrection, it changes life both now and forever for us. Today, in this new series, Because He Lives, the Aftermath of Jesus' Resurrection, we want to look at what the Bible says about our glorified bodies. Here's Pastor Tim.
Amen. You can be seated. I was talking to our church friend, Mark Mirza. You may not know him personally, but he knows you through prayer for sure. Anyway, I was talking to Mark a couple of weeks ago, and he told me about this thought that he had about the disciples, about what the morning of Saturday morning was like versus what waking up Monday morning was like. You know, the Saturday after Jesus' crucifixion would have been a very, very sad morning. I mean, you know, their Messiah is dead and in a grave, and they've seen all of that, and it just is a feeling of hopelessness, a feeling of helplessness. But then this is what he said about Monday. He said they would have woken up Monday morning with the thought of, it's not over. You know, what a good thought, what a good word, because it's not over, is it? It is not over. There is so much more to come. In fact, because of the resurrection, after the resurrection, I mean, life is just beginning, really, what real, true life is all about. In fact, there is so much that is in the wake of the resurrection, so to speak. So much that is an impact of that, of Jesus' resurrection, that for the rest of this month, we're going to kind of focus on those things. In fact, this whole month, we're going to kind of deal under this series thought of Because He Lives, and talk about the aftermath of Jesus' resurrection. This morning, I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as we study one of those profound impacts today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is one of the greatest dissertations on the resurrection that you'll find anywhere in the Bible or outside of the Bible. As Paul writes this, though, he's writing to a group of people who don't believe in the resurrection at all. They don't believe in Jesus' resurrection. They don't believe in any kind of resurrection. And so Paul spends the first part of this chapter trying to explain to them what the resurrection is, why it's important, and why it is a reality. As he's saying those things, there are a few verses that I want to draw to your attention before we get to our text. One is in verse number 14. As he kind of draws this to a conclusion and then comes to a point of saying, listen, if you're right, if there's no resurrection, then we've got a problem. Christianity has a problem. Everything in Christianity revolves around the resurrection. If the resurrection isn't true, then none of it can be true. And that's where Paul goes in verse 14. He says, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. So if Christ isn't risen from the dead, what I do here today doesn't matter at all. And the fact that you are here and what you believe doesn't matter at all. In fact, look three verses later, look at verse number 17. He says the same thing. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. It's futile. He says, and you are still in your sins. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then he didn't pay for your sins on the cross because he never cashed it in. If he didn't die, if he didn't raise from the dead, then you are still in your sins and you are still responsible for those and you will still remain separated from God for forever. But I'm so thankful for verse number 20. He says, but Christ is risen from the dead. Now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Here to me is one of the best news, and this is where we really begin to see impact of the resurrection or aftermath of the resurrection. If there are first fruits, then there are second fruits, right? If there wasn't second fruits, then it'd just be fruits, right? But it's first fruits. He is the first fruits. So what we see in Jesus' resurrection has impact on me. In fact, the Bible is going to talk about a first resurrection and a second resurrection that is still to come for us. And we're going to talk about that before the month gets up. But where I want to head with you today is where Paul lands when he gets to verse number 35. In verse number 35, he's got this question that comes up, or really a pair of questions that's listed. And I'll talk about the question in a minute. Look at it with me. He says, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Now, you may have that very same question. You may have the same question. How is it that we're going to be raised one of these days? And if we're raised, if Sean's song is right, if we are going to live eternally in the house of the Lord forever and forever, what is that going to look like? What am I going to be like? What is my body going to be like? And that's what he's asking. Now, I hope that when you ask that question, you ask it sincerely. People ask me those kinds of questions all the time. What kind of body are we going to have? Is it okay to be cremated? What about the person who is cremated and their ashes are scattered everywhere? What about people maybe who served with Mac McGowan on a boat in the Pacific and their body is lying at the bottom of the ocean somewhere? What about those people who in war maybe They were blown up. They were blown to bits, we would say. What about those people? If those are genuine questions that you have, then there are genuine answers for you. But if you're asking those questions the way that Paul's first readers are asking these questions, when he says, someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And what body will they be? They're not asking this because they want to know. They're not asking this because they have an inquisitive mind. They're asking this question out of mockery. They see the whole issue of the resurrection as crazy, as out of this world. I mean, they've been to a cemetery. They've seen this body. This body is rotting. It is decaying. It is lifeless. How then can God give life to that? And so they say it, making fun of everything that Paul has been trying to teach them. Now, if you ask that way, if you're asking because you don't believe, if you're asking because you think this is the most foolish thing that you have ever heard of in your life, that one of these days these bodies will be raised, then you get the same kind of answer that Paul's readers got. Notice how he addresses them in verse 36. If you're reading from a King James, it says, thou fool. My New King James says, foolish one. In other words, who really is the fool here? It's the person who's asking these questions, not believing what the answers are even going to be. That's the foolish person. The foolish person, they are asking these questions from that Psalm 14 mentality. the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. In other words, they believe that this is all there is to this life. If they really believe that God is God, that He is the creator and the sustainer of all things, if you really genuinely believe that, you're not going to have any problem with the resurrection. Why? Because what's harder for God? Is it harder for Him to create something out of nothing? Or is it harder to create something out of something? Is it harder for God to take the dust of the earth and to create Adam's body with it and then breathe into his nostrils the breath of life? Or to take dust and ashes and recreate a body? Which one is more difficult? Is it more difficult if the ashes are dry or if they're soggy wet? Does it matter if they're laying neatly in a coffin 6 feet under the dirt and they're laid out just exactly as if they were asleep? Is that somehow easier than if their ashes are scattered in the wind? What's harder? Nothing. Nothing is impossible with God. What you're going to see as Paul begins to answer this question is God will do this. In fact, go ahead and take a quick peek at verse number 38. But God gives it a body as He pleases. God is the one who will do this. That resurrection body, that glorified body that you will have, will come by the hands of the Creator who raises all of that back to life again. All right. The question's out there. Sometimes for you it's a legitimate question, so we want a legitimate answer. So I'm going to skip that part about calling me a fool because that ain't where I'm living right now. But I want to hear the answer. I want to know what the real answer is. What will my glorified body be like? And so Paul spends a number of these verses explaining to them what the glorified body really is like. And he does it in four segments. Number one. First, I want you to see that the Bible paints a picture of our glorified body. The Bible paints a picture of our glorified bodies. In order to answer the question, Paul gives to them a point of reference, an easy to understand illustration, a picture of how all of this works. All right? I'm going to skip that first part of verse 36. All right, let's keep going though. Verse 36. He says, "What you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but a mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as He pleases, and to each seed its own body." It is a simple farming illustration. One that they would have understood easily. One that you can understand easily. The seed goes into the ground. The seed dies. Then the seed germinates and the seed sprouts. And it's not a seed then that pops up above the soil. Instead, now it's this little green sprout that comes up. And pretty soon it's going to become something wholly new, something unlike the seed that's been in there, but exactly like the seed that's been planted as well. And it's going to have even more of those seeds. It's easy for us to understand, isn't it? I mean, even a second grader in their kindergarten class, or the second grader in kindergarten, that's sad for that child, isn't it? But but when you're in school, I meant to say your science class, you know, they gave you that little jar. And they gave you a butter bean and a wet paper towel, right? Yep, what happened to it? It sprouted, didn't it? It did exactly what you're reading about in this passage. We could see that process work. And that's what Paul wants them to do. He wants them to be able to visualize and see how this process works. And so he pictures it for us with three specific truths that I want to give to you in three very simple words. All right? The first word that you need to know is casualty. Casualty or death. In other words, the seed has to die before new life can begin. What does he say? He says, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. When are you going to get your glorified body? When you start acting right? No. When are you going to get your glorified body? When you're saved? No. You get your glorified body on the other side of the grave. That's when you get your glorified body. You'll get your glorified body when Jesus comes back and he raises that body to new life and reconnects it with your spirit. That's when that's coming. So it's casualty. Death has to come first, right? Number two. The second word is connection. Connection. In other words, that body that you have right now, somehow, please don't ask me to explain it, but somehow it is connected with that body that you're going to have one day. Some people ask from time to time, you know, what age are we going to be? You know, some people say, well, everybody's going to be 33 because that's how old Jesus was when he died. You know, oh, to be 33 again, right? What about the people who didn't make it to 33? You know, what about those that I didn't know them when they were 33? How am I supposed to recognize them if they're in that body? You know, when we visited North Carolina not too long ago with my dad's family, you know, they all still call him Junior up there. Nobody calls him by his name. They all call him Junior. Nobody around here calls him Junior. Everybody up there knows him as a young man. Everybody up here knows him. Well, we'll just say otherwise, you know. So how will we know him then? There is a connection, but there's a grave difference. This connection simply means that you are still you because your spirit remains. Your personality is recognizable. It's not that I simply recognize you now by face. I'll recognize you then by essence. I will know even as I am known. Yes, we will know one another. Look at this. He uses this illustration, verse number 37, of the grain of wheat. The grain of wheat is put down into the ground. It's not a grain of wheat that comes up, is it? One day there'll be many of those grains of wheat. For right now, when it first comes up, it's very different. If you plant wheat into the ground, a grain of wheat, do you expect corn to come up? Do you expect to have an apple tree? Do you expect to have a person? No. What do you expect to have? You expect to have wheat. There is a direct connection that the essence of who you are now is the essence of who you will be then, only perfected. Let me hasten then and give you this third word. Because there's casualty, there's connection, and then there's contrast. Though there are similarities with this glorified body, though you'll still be recognizable, though you'll still be you, there is a vast difference in who you will be in your glorified body and who you are now. It's not a duplication. God is not going to clone you somehow or simply recreate you or reanimate that dead body. That's not what he's doing. What did he say? He said he will give it a body as he pleases. He will create that body. And even though the essence of who you are now is the essence of who you will be then for forever, it is vastly different. We're going to see some of those things in this passage, but just think about Jesus' glorified body. Think about the things that he was able to do. Think about the way that people saw him and viewed him after his resurrection. Yes, they recognized him, but sometimes he was able to withhold it. Sometimes he was able to go through walls. Sometimes he was able simply to appear and to disappear. Why, on the day of ascension, he simply floated, ascended up into heaven. It's not just because he's God. It's because he had his glorified body. Our bodies will be as different. Notice what this says. Paul says, you do not sow that body that will be. It's not the same. It's only similar.
Pastor Tim, thanks you for joining us here today on Britt David Podcast. Pastor Tim would love to connect and share with you about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and how you can know that you know that Jesus is your Savior and Lord. That address is churchoffice@brittdavid.org. We are located at 2801 West Britt David Road, Columbus, Georgia, 31909. Thanks again for joining us here on Britt David Podcast.